B-Pod Studios.
Watch Toucher and Rich on Twitch. Follow the Sports Hub on Twitch.tv for live shows and reruns. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We've been in enemy territory. We went into Toronto. It's not easy to win there. We went into Columbus, Carolina. You know, a lot of talk about their fan base. Columbus, we went in there, the cannon. Our guys just dealt with it. Been there before. I don't anticipate they'll be overwhelmed.
Let's go, Bruins!
Nice slot, it's Krug. Wrister deflected. They score! Krug ripped a wrist shot. The Bruins look like they got a tip on it. A power play goal. 1-0 Bruins.
Coyle got out of the way of a blade check. 3-on-2. Drop to Johansson. Right circle. It's fired. They score!
3-on-2. The Bruins come across. And Charlie Coyle whistled one home from the right circle. 2-0 Bruins.
Woo! Picked off by Corrali, but he's got a guy in the zone. Sends it across the blue line to Nordstrom. Left circle. It's fired. They score!
With 8 seconds remaining, 3-0.
Near point Bergeron, far point Krug, Wrister out in front, they score!
David Pastrnak made it look easy. Krug sent it down low, Pastrnak all by himself over at the far post. He feathered a backhand home, a power play goal.
Thanks.
Right of the net, Tarasenko shoots, rest the save, point blank. Krug, high slot, Marshall laid the pass off his knees, back to Krug, right circle, shoots, he scores!
The top of the right wing circle through Jordan Binnington. The Bruins' third power play goal of the night, and they lead it 5-1 here in St. Louis.
I'm watching the bench. Binnington's going to get pulled right now.
Oh, you know what, Binnington, you piece of shit.
Nordstrom gets it out to center ice. Atari wheels over the line, fires, scores! The sixth different guy with a goal tonight for the Boston Bruins. Noel Achari, the Rhode Island wrecking ball. Bruins 6, Blues 2.
Hockey!
Right circle is fired. They score! Marcus Johansson, seventh goal tonight for the Bruins. 7-2 here in Game 3. The horn is going to sound. The Boston Bruins stagger the St. Louis Blues, winning Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final. 7-2 here in St. Louis. They have now jumped back in front, and they have now won 7 of 9 road games here in the playoffs.
Thanks.
Night 8-5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich, and everyone was very excited on Saturday with the 7-2 win. Bruins over the Blues over there. Game 4 in St. Louis. Puck drops around 8:50, but it's supposed to drop at 8. But there's some things they have to do.
The world's longest anthem. That was, like, unbelievably long.
All right, but the in all seriousness, the pregame starts here at 7:30. And you will have the only opportunity on radio to listen to this. The only home call will be here at 98.5 Sports Hub. And Bird, man by the name of Bird, there was a video that came out over the weekend, and it was Bird celebrating a goal, and he was chugging out of a bottle of liqueur.
So, okay, this video came to my attention. It was, you know, added us at the Toucher and Rich account. And who's Anthony?
One of my best friends.
Okay, so Bird is apparently hanging out with a bunch of his best friends. And this tweet said, Bird just crushing bottles every time the Bruins score. So I click on the video, and apparently someone just scored. Now, he holds up a bottle of something called Catch Fire, which I'm
like an off-brand Fireball.
Is that the most Everett thing ever? You're
not
drinking
even Fireball.
An off-brand
Fireball. Discount Fireball.
Called Catch Fire.
Everyone knows Fireball is exceptionally expensive.
This is like...
It caters to a very, you know, very... exclusive crowd.
Right. This is like what, you know, Evan Williams is to like Jack Daniels. It's like three grades below that.
Yeah, it's like grandma's tongue liquor. It's like the liquor that Crash served at his wedding.
that.
One of the worst hangovers I ever had was after Crash's wedding because it was it wasn't well drinks. It was below the ground drinks.
Okay, so this is a like a normal size liquor bottle, and I'm looking at it, and there's about a third left.
Yep.
I don't know how many ounces that would be, but it's probably like man,
probably like maybe eight to ten shots.
Yeah. Oh, more than that, Fred. Because I looked at it again, and when he picks it up and like moves it aside, it's a third of that bottle, like a normal bottle of alcohol.
Well, if a shot's an ounce and a half,
maybe right then. Yeah, it's probably about 12 shots. And Bird, after this one goal, just picks it up and chugs the entire thing.
Jeez.
Yep. And that was like, and that was just after one of the goals.
Yeah.
All right. What is going on there? Where were you? What was the story?
I'm over at my buddy's house. We're in his man cave.
Oh, don't use that word.
In his basement.
Doing man things.
What? Okay, what's in a man cave?
Bunch of chicks on posters. Look at her. She's in a bikini.
He has his own bar down there, too. And there's, like, both sports memorabilia all over the place, like Bruins and Celtics stuff.
Okay.
All right. So that is his area. There's a bar, and then there's a bunch of sports memorabilia. Yeah,
he works at Total Wines, too. So we had, like, a whole shelf of, like, booze.
Okay.
He's like, you have to try this, Bird. I'm like, I don't want to try that. I'm like, I don't like fireballs as it is because it just burns on the way down. He's like, no, just trust me. Just have a shot of this. I took a shot of it. There was, like, no, like, none of that, like, burning sensation on the way down. I'm like, oh, okay, this is nothing. And then I just, like, after one go, I'm like, hey, give me it. And I just kill the rest of it.
Okay, so now, is that the only thing you drank that, or did you continue to do that after every goal?
We did shots after every goal, but not with that. We did blue whiskey.
That's not a shot, though.
No, like, I know. No, but not with the bottles. I had, like, we had shot glasses. We did a shot for every goal.
Okay, so you did that plus six more, because if you did that after a goal, then you did six more shots after that. That's equivalent to like 18 shots.
Yeah. I'm good.
Dude, were you standing?
Yeah. No, I was sitting watching the game. I mean, at one point I was like, at one point I started getting dizzy.
Thank you for clarifying.
Did you have any addition? I would imagine you had additional drinks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Were you drinking beer? Or what were you drinking?
Yes, I was drinking beer.
All right, so how many beers do you think you had?
I had at least five. They're like the 16-ounce ones.
Okay, so you had five pints.
Yep.
Five pints and 18 shots.
Yes.
All right, and you were fine?
No, I was like, ooh, and I peed like 1,000 times. And then before the game was over, we were just sitting there chilling, drinking, and then someone left pizza behind. They ate like three slices of pizza, and I was like, good. That catch fire was like 30 proof, so it wasn't that...
Oh, it's only 30 proof.
Oh, yeah. It's only 30 proof.
30 proof.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, because Fireball's, I think, like 35 or something.
So. Yeah, there's no alcohol in those things.
Yeah.
So, it's 30 proof?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, we're doing whiskey shots on Blue Label whiskey shots, too.
Okay, so that was like what? That's like 80 proof?
I have no idea off the top of my head, but I'll take your word for it.
Okay.
So that was tough on the way down. I was like, oh, all right, I got to stop doing this.
Yes, because the Fireball doesn't have a lot of alcohol in it.
No, it's basically sugar.
Is this an average Friday, Saturday night in Everett?
Yeah.
You and your buddies?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how often do you do this?
No, once in a blue moon. Like, it was a special occasion. I was in the moment. I said,
When you went home, did you have to walk past your parents?
No. They're already knocked out.
They were already in bed? Would you get the stink eye if you came home drunk?
No. My parents would just laugh at me and bust my balls.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you would go up to your room?
Yep.
Have you ever peed the bed?
No. I did black out one New Year's Eve, and I opened apparently there's a trail of money going up my stairs. I guess I opened my drawers and just puked all over my shirts.
A trail of money?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Dude, catch fire is 60 proof.
It is? Oh, it said 30 on the bottle.
No, no.
Is it 60% alcohol? Or
it's 30% alcohol, 60 proof.
Oh.
Jeez. Dude, that is... That's ridiculous how much you had to drink.
I know. I'm good.
Were you hungover the next day?
No. I have a routine before I go to bed. I chug like two bottles of water and I have this...
And you didn't pee yourself?
No. I know. Like
how
I said,
is that possible?
I didn't pee myself, I swear.
It's not even the booze. It's just
the water on top of it. Yeah.
No, I peed like twice before. I woke up once and peed.
Your
and
head is so red.
I know.
But this isn't even nerve-wracking.
No, I know. I just get like that regardless. The funny thing is, I woke up that morning. I locked my bathroom door and I had a crap really bad. And I'm like, what the? I'm like freaking out. Like, see, I'm sweating right now, like times 10.
Okay.
I had to find those things, the little clip things, and poke a hole through the door.
You mean a paper clip?
Yeah, paper clip. Yeah. And I poke it through
the little clip thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just, it's not normal.
Any little soldiers slip out?
No, thank God.
Sure. Is there another bathroom? Now, do you have your own bathroom?
I have my own bathroom. Yeah, there's three bathrooms.
But it's your own bathroom? It's in your room?
Yeah. I legit locked the door. I don't know how I did
now,
that.
Now, did they install that after they realized you were never moving out, or was that something?
That was already up there.
Okay, so it's in your room.
Yes.
It's physically in your room.
Yes.
Now, is it a Brady Bunch thing where there's another door and another room can use it?
No. No, mine. My bathroom, mine alone.
Okay, and yeah. So are you in the master bedroom?
It's the third. I have the whole third floor to myself. The master bedroom.
How luxurious!
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So
it's like Kirk Cameron, isn't that right?
Well, he was above the garage.
Oh, okay.
How old are you again?
37.
All right.
They're selling the house this summer, hopefully.
Well, that can't be good for you.
Okay. Hang on. Could you bring it in? Dan says your phone is going crazy right now. All of your friends are like texting to yell at you.
All right.
The pressure to move in with the significant other is increased, I would imagine.
No, that's fine. I'll move in with Rebecca. I have no problem with that.
All right.
Well, okay.
He, by the way, he's going to be just miserable when they sell that house.
No, I'm not.
Are they selling it so you'll leave?
No. My mother wants to live by the ocean, so somewhere in Revere or Lynn, that
beautiful
area.
That's a beautiful ocean.
I didn't ask her which one, though. But
he's closer to Kelly's.
What are your friends saying?
Brad, this is amazing.
It's really not.
How didn't you pee yourself? Yeah. He just said he had a poop.
So he just thinks you said poop.
By the way, he's in there all day.
Did you guys try to pick each other up at any point?
That goes without saying. By the way, he's in there all day, all morning, texting with these guys.
They text me. I know.
But they have a 24-hour text chain.
Yeah, it's bad. It's so bad.
Really?
Legit two or three groups on my phone.
Okay.
It's just 24 hours, just constant texting of nonsense.
Yeah. They text. It's like 8-year-olds on the phone. Like, they text each other constantly.
It's bad.
It's like the Everett post office.
Dude, you were so hammered last night.
Dude, you said poop.
It's the Everett Pony Express.
Maybe we should have an interpretive reading of those texts.
Oh,
Rich, that's not a bad idea.
Your mind, you would fall asleep 10 seconds into
it. Oh, yeah.
No.
they discuss nothing.
Oh.
It's just constant yammering on this text.
Well, all right. Give me an example. The last text before his phone blew up because he was discussing this.
Right.
Read what was that, Bird?
It was at Chuck's house in Peabody.
Okay. What else?
Is Berger be on Ellen? No. This is amazing. Imagine him on Ellen. No. Ha ha ha, you didn't pee yourself. Bert is amazing. He just said he had a poop on the air. What is he thinking? I blacked out once and there was a trail of money at the upstairs and I opened my drawers and puked all over my shirts. Ha 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 ha. This kid, you're unbelievable. What is wrong with you?
So is it Bert?
I gotta go. My son just projected and vomited all over the bed and hallway.
He did what?
Projectile.
There it is. Ding, ding, ding.
All right. Well, Bird, it's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Bird, good to see you.
I'm glad you were able to chug that much liquor.
The Everett Stream of Consciousness text group.
Yeah. Just whatever comes into their heads.
So it said Bird's got as many friends as Rich has unread emails.
Bird has a phenomenal amount of friends.
He does.
That I'll tell you. He has
that's pretty
he's
cool.
Got like 100 friends.
Yeah.
No, the text chain would get really annoying.
I agree with that. The friends without the text chain, that's cool.
I mean, yeah. I mean, you can devote all his time to making friends. He doesn't really work, and he's got a room upstairs at his parents' house.
Not for much longer.
I'm telling you, they're selling it so he won't stay up there anymore. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Brady won't throw me the ball because he has no trust in me.
Rich.
I have a super dry tongue. Look.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They want to play physical, and we want to play physical, you know. And I was asking for that hit, I guess, cutting it to the middle. But, you know, it's a play of hockey, and this didn't take me off the game at all.
But it looked like you saved your life on that.
Yeah, for sure. I was lucky, you know, I saw him last second, and how I said, I was asking for it. So.
Have you seen the replay yet?
No.
Do you want him?
Nah, I don't know. I just want to go to the hotel and have a nice dinner and forget about hockey until tomorrow.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Game 4 tonight in St. Louis. Felger and Maz out in St. Louis. They are having the time of their lives. You know, Roach went to the matinee game yesterday at Busch Stadium.
Haven't heard back yet.
Oh, you did? Well,
I texted him. I haven't heard back.
Yeah, he was in baseball ecstasy. I mean, you can't. I mean,
there's a hangover that goes with that.
He's watching one of the best rivalries in sports.
Yeah.
He's watching Cubs Cardinals.
Right.
I mean, what do you want out of him? He was lazing in the sun. But I assure you, he went to that game. Unless he had to eat gum and swallow it again, like he did a bunch of other times.
You know what's interesting after game 3 is that. You know, at the beginning, and it probably still is, and it is, but Tuukka Rask is right now still a lock to be your Conn Smythe winner, correct?
Yes.
But
yes.
You know who at least is kind
of
sneaking up? Torrey Krug. Think about what Torrey Krug did in game 3 alone. Well, first of all, in game 3, he scored a goal and had 3 assists. On top of that, he has scored 16 points in the 20 games so far. 16 points in the 20 games. And not only that, but it's the stuff that's off the stat sheet that you could argue has also helped him enter the conversation. The way that he's played on the penalty kill, the way that he's been just as a, you know, as a show of, I don't know, a way to get his team involved when he did that whole thing without the helmet and smashed into, who the hell got knocked out? Rob Thomas. I mean, at least he's starting to enter the conversation. And it would have to be a situation where he dominated the next few games for him to win it.
But the Conn Smythe is about the entire postseason. But it's not about the finals.
It is, but once again, he's had 16 points throughout the 20 games.
But Rask has kept them in games, and Rask has been the reason they've won.
Yeah, so. It's Rask and everybody else. And if you want to go points, I mean, Marchand has more points in the playoffs than Krug does. I mean, it's Rask. If the Bruins go on and win this thing, it's going to be Rask. If St. Louis goes on and win this thing, it'll probably be Jaden Schwartz if he scores a couple more goals.
Yes, that's absolutely true. And the thing is that what was interesting about that game is that the Bruins, and you got to hand it to Cassidy, the Bruins did, they figured out what St. Louis was doing. They dared them to do it again, and it worked completely in their favor. Because St. Louis wanted to dump, and then they wanted to get deep, and they wanted to forecheck. And the Bruins took all those lanes away, made them dump it in a lot, you know, whatever, like a second sooner, which allowed their defensemen to get back and get it clean and get rushes out of that. And they got odd man rushes out of that. So St. Louis is going to have to do something tonight. I don't know quite what it would be.
You
because
see,
that's the whole... the philosophy behind that team.
I think that's a real good point you made, is that this is different than showing up for game 2. I mean, St. Louis got more physical. They played to their strength in game 2. We brought it up a bunch. They chipped in, made Bruins defensemen stationary targets, and plastered them along the glass behind the net. Bruins figured out a way to solve that problem in game 3, but St. Louis plays one way, much like Carolina played one way. And once the Bruins solved that, there was no fallback option. So,
yeah, you can tell because St. Louis made zero in-game adjustments.
Exactly. And Craig Berube's a good head coach. Obviously, he got them to this point where they weren't supposed to be here.
At the Garden,
it's old school, you know, thunder and lightning stuff. I get it. But if you don't have a fallback option against a team like the Bruins that are multidimensional, and they can score on the power play, that have elite penalty killers and quick defensemen who figured out a way to avoid getting punished, then you are in a significant amount of trouble if Binnington doesn't get hot for you.
And you know what was odd is, despite the caller that we had that was the big Blues fan, is that the actual town of the Bruins was able to pull off.
Yes. It's not a bad talent, Fred.
It was awesome.
Yeah, they were able to actually exploit, you know, once they figured it out, they were able to exploit that. And you're right. They have team speed. They have... they are smart, and the veteran group is and this is back is playing is not playing well.
No, but that's the thing. The Bruins can play heavy if the other team wants to play heavy, or if you're a speed team like Toronto, they can play quick too.
But the main question that Fred, you brought this up earlier, and I think it's a good one, is you got a guy like Binnington who's, you know, not experienced in all of this. Does yanking him in game three screw with his head enough to where he's off for the rest of the series?
Well, that's it. I mean, you don't, from everything that I've read about the guy, which has been a lot now, is he's would, out of all the young goaltenders, and he has everything that you would want, and he's almost like, they were joking around on St. Louis radio about how, like, if he heard something, he might move, like something funny, he might move, like his lip might quiver,
yeah,
instead of laughing. So I guess the guy's completely locked in, but he's still 25, which isn't, you know, overly young in the NHL, but he's still in this situation for the first time. I mean, he hasn't been playing goaltender in the NHL for very long. So he, if anything, this could hurt him. But I don't even think that they need him to be terrible. I just think that I'm going to be interested to see if St. Louis can do anything. To anything different tonight.
Or if they could fix their penalty kill. And I know they get Sundqvist back, but I mean, four shots on four power plays, and that's all it took. Four goals, four shots, four goals.
And they lost their composure. And the thing is that if you're going to play that way, I'm fascinated with the idea of nailing Rask around. Like, I don't know what that accomplishes except for getting you,
see,
shorthanded.
I don't know if it's a loss of composure, Fred. I think that's a directive from the coach.
Yeah, it's like, you know what it is?
Believes in that philosophy.
It's meatballs. It's like, it just doesn't matter. Like, they were down by like four or five goals, and that's when it got nasty. That's when the guys just started
like, Berube said, okay, let's go to work here.
If we can't win, we're sending them a message.
Yeah, exactly. Let's send a message. And okay, the Bruins got the message, but the question is, do they laugh at it? Which is probably close to the case.
Rask actually did.
Yes, Rask legit laughed at Perron when he got in his face.
Because what's Perron going to do to a goaltender? Like, that's what's fascinating. Like, what's he going
to
do?
That's the thing. The Blues have tried to run into the goaltender more than once. It hasn't worked.
Yeah, and then they
Perron's
get penalized.
Perron's trying to get in the face of Rask. That hasn't worked. So what's next? What do you do now?
I just don't know what you're going to accomplish by getting in the guy's face. I mean, you can't hit him, and he's got a ton of equipment on. All you're going to do is cost your team. So the big story to me tonight is if St. Louis has got the talent or the wherewithal to change the way they play. Because it's not going to work. Because the Bruins have figured it out.
If St. Louis gets down again, does Berube break up that line, the Tarasenko line?
Yes. Yes.
If St. Louis falls behind 3-1 in the second period,
yeah, he'll
does Berube say, okay, we got to split these guys
up? Yeah, he'll start getting desperate. All right, here are the headlines.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub. Were they planning?
All right. That was smooth.
Smooth-a-roo. 98.5 the Sports Hub. There you go.
It was the rock and roll mandatory band coming in for commercials. Here's a song you've heard a million times.
Really overrated.
Get ready for hot sports takes and a couple of laughs. Here come the guys known as Toucher and Rich. Hot sports takes and a couple of laughs. Ha, 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 it's Toucher and Rich.
Well, now, John Wallach is the biggest boxing fan on the show. And he was very much looking forward to, which probably wouldn't even happen, but looking forward to...
A kid can dream, can he?
Deontay Wilder versus Anthony Joshua.
Wilder, 41-0 with 40 knockouts against Anthony Joshua from the UK, was also undefeated. I think he had knocked out everyone he had faced.
Right, okay, so real quick, before you turn to John, just So boxing had disappeared for years. I mean, it's one of these things where nobody cared about, you know, we've talked about this before. When we were all younger, everyone, when it was Tyson and it was Holyfield, everyone knew who the heavyweight champion is. And then that went by the wayside. And then UFC kind of had a resurgence. And now you got Conor McGregor gone and you've got, you know, Ronda Rousey, they're away. And there aren't a ton of like household names. Dude, boxing rules now. And something has happened in the last like year and a half. Where now you've got these guys that are just so either easy to root for or exciting to watch. And something happened on Saturday night where I don't care if this dude's a star for 3 months or a year or however long, but this dude is now my favorite thing that's happened in boxing in a long, long time.
All right, so because Joshua looks like he was molded from stone.
He's an action figure.
Yeah, he's a guy who obviously is very strict diet. He's incredibly well-conditioned. He looks like someone that you would be very afraid of.
Counts every calorie, probably does like every single like exercise the proper way and does it more than you would ever imagine.
Right. And he went up against a fat guy.
And
not fat like as an athlete. Oh, hey.
I mean, just a dude who said, I'm eating.
Hey, 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 how you doing, my friend who boxes? Do we have the same problems with our bounce?
Is this Bob Wiley, the offensive line coach of the Browns?
Hey, 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 can you share some shirts with me? I started to lactate because I got too fat.
Oh, boy. I mean, Andy Ruiz.
Milk, 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 milk from my nipples. Milk, 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 milk from my nipples. Milk, 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 milk. Would you like to taste?
I know, and that's disgusting. I mean,
hey there, Ruiz. You're pretty good and fresh. All right, so anyway, so Ruiz has literal boobs.
Yeah.
Like, when I say fat, like, not like, you know when Buster Douglas was, like, looked out of shape?
Yeah.
No, this guy straight up has folds.
No, he's fat.
He's 6'2", 270 pounds.
Yeah, and I find that difficult to believe that he's 270 pounds.
At 6'2"? I mean, he looks...
He looks bigger than that.
He looks... Yeah. He has folds. He has folds.
No, his belly
comes over his waist.
And
you're right. He's got man boobs.
I mean, he's legitimately fat. He's got the worst tattoo in the planet on his chest. And he, like, so what was impressive to me, What was impressive to me is that he could last seven rounds.
Oh, yeah, because usually when you bring in the big fat guy, like, they're killing it for two rounds. And then by the third one, it's...
Yeah. I mean, because he got caught. Like, he got knocked down, I believe.
Yes.
And he got
Joshua caught. Knocked him down and then got back up and knocked Joshua down in the same round.
Yeah. So, like, he got caught. He got knocked down. Because you know the guy's strong as hell. But the idea that he had the kind of conditioning being that fat to hang around for 7 years. If anyone's ever boxed, holding your hands up for a round and protecting yourself is hard. If no one's hitting you,
it'll kill you.
Yeah, and then, like, the idea of getting hit repeatedly in your arms while they're up, while you're taking body shots and stuff. I mean, you got to move around. I mean, he had Joshua in corners and stuff. I was fascinated that he could last that long.
At one point, Ruiz just started murdering Anthony Joshua. Like, there was this one series of hits where he might have hit him in the face or jaw five times in a row within the same, like, barrage of punches. And then in the seventh, in the seventh round, this happens.
Joshua looks so tired. I think he wants out. That's it. He says that's it. Andy Ruiz is the heavyweight champion. Michael Griffin was giving him every chance, but Joshua was looking to his corner. Did not advance. And Andy Ruiz has shocked the world. The Mexican Rocky, indeed. The Mexican Rocky makes me believe in movies now.
I mean, Rocky was in good shape. He was 11-1 underdog. The idea that it was silly looking. Joshua didn't train for this fight. Joshua had no intention of trying in this fight. Joshua got...
Ruiz was a last-minute replacement. He signed to take this fight a month ago.
Yeah, and then...
And if you're Anthony Joshua, you're like, all right, this guy's got a decent record, but he hasn't fought anyone. This should be a walkover.
Dude, he starts jumping around when he finds out that he wins so hard, and his stomach starts pounding his waist so much. His shorts start falling down. And I thought we were going to have, like, a massive, like, butt crack moment happening.
No, he's like Bartolo Colon fat. Like, he's legitimately fat. But not like you throw away, like, athletes like that have, like, a pot belly or something. I mean, he's a giant fatso.
But, my God, that dude just beat the snot out of Anthony Joshua.
Well, what he did is he exposed Joshua. I mean, Joshua didn't care, and he showed that he had no intestinal fortitude.
And in the process, blew up a fight that, what, will make $250 million?
Yeah. And
next year?
Yeah.
You snooze, you lose, man.
Seriously. Yeah. I mean, he just blew up a fight that would have made $250 million.
A fight where he would have been destroyed. Because he obviously
Wilder would have crushed him.
Yeah,
yes.
He can't take a punch.
Yes, but the buildup would have been worth it.
No, it would have been fantastic.
Yeah.
Somebody just sent me a picture, Ben Millett. He said, you know he's fat because at the weigh-in, he did the classic suck in the fat move in the picture.
I saw this.
Yeah, he did. If he weighs 270, that was at weigh-in.
Yeah.
And I guarantee he was close to 300 pounds when they fought.
Somebody just said it best. Joshua got beat up by Gabriel Iglesias, the comedian.
Yeah.
The fluffy guy.
Yeah.
He looks just like him.
Yeah.
Oh, but this guy's my hero.
I hope it's not another Buster Douglas. I mean, you remember Buster Douglas?
It's going to be.
10 months later, it was like, a year later, Evander Holyfield knocked him out in 3 rounds, and that was it for him for 6 years.
Their next fight is a rematch. I mean, they're going
to
do that next.
I think it would have to be, yes.
Oh, it is. That's what they'll do.
Yeah.
I mean, so he's going to fight him again, and he's going to lose.
Well, put him in the boat of, I'll watch any fight that this guy fights now. Like, now I'll watch him anything. I'll watch anything he does.
It'll be easy to catch him because he'll refight Josh. He'll get a rematch with Joshua. Joshua will kill him. And then you'll be able to find him on like TNT at 1 in the morning.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. But for now, for the next however long, 6 months until he fights again, that dude is the king of the world.
I can't believe how lazy Joshua was. He got knocked down 4 times.
All right, here comes, you don't know your boxing guy. Mike on line 4. All right, here we go. We don't know our boxing. Let's go.
Well, I don't.
I know.
Mike, go ahead.
Mike.
I hate to be that guy because I love listening to you guys, and I hate when guys like me call. But Ruiz did not expose Joshua. Joshua had tough fights before. In 2017, he fought Vladimir Klitschko and was the first guy to beat him in 11 years. And he won that fight after getting up off the mat. Joshua is a specimen, but Andy Ruiz is perfect dad bod masculinity.
Admit that. Okay, I'll tell you this: is that I'm aware of Joshua's career. I mean, I not like you.
I think Klitschko was at the end, though.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, yes, and he was married to that little girl,
Hayden Panettiere.
All right. So, but admit that he had no interest in that fight.
Well, I don't think it was a no interest thing, Fred. I think the having to change in opponents so close to the fight is what did it. I really don't think he underestimated Ruiz. I think he was just so ready for a guy like Jarrell Miller, who got popped for steroids anyway. But I think they're just two different fighters. And that close to the fight, you know, 3 weeks out, you're pretty much all, they move the date of the fight. And 3 weeks out from a fight, you're all done doing hard sparring and everything. Even though they extended it to make it a 5-week thing, it's too close to a fight to have an opponent change like that.
You would figure that if you're an elite heavyweight, that you
take
should
on
be
that,
able,
a guy like that. That. Yeah, I mean, 11
that's
to 1.
That's the key word. That's the key word, heavyweight. They're so big and they're so athletic in MMA, too. All they got to do is touch each other. It doesn't matter.
Admit Ruiz is extraordinarily fat for an athlete.
Oh, absolutely. But look at his cardio. Did you ever see him breathing too hot in any of those fights?
No.
He looked great.
I admitted that. I was absolutely stunned that he was that athletic later in that fight.
Well, muscles need more oxygen than fat. That's a scientific fact.
But listen, then I'm going to run a marathon.
I try telling people. Listen, I used to fight MMA. I fought at 155, and now I walk around at 205. And people look at me, they're like, how do you feel? I'm like, I feel great. I don't have to cut weight, and I had a milkshake for breakfast. How you feeling?
Exactly.
Thanks, fellas.
See you, man.
No, I said that earlier. I mean, seeing Ruiz be able to to function after six rounds was outstanding.
And just long live the king, man. He's the first Mexican heavyweight? Is
yes.
that true?
First wow. Mexican heavyweight, yes.
Awesome. Well, however long he's...
6 months until they have the rematch and he gets torched, but still, it's a great story. And I just wanted to see that fight. I wanted to see Wilder against Joshua, and at best case, it was going to happen next year. Now it's at least 2 or 3 years out.
And what was good about it as well is that afterwards, like, you could tell Ruiz, like, needed money, and
yeah.
that, like,
oh, yeah.
that he's getting these paydays is, like, a big deal for him.
Cash in, man.
And by the way, who was hanging out with Joshua before the fight?
Oh, Drake! How about that?
Ah!
So it's another Drake curse.
Ah.
That's right. I forgot about that. There was a picture of Drake hanging out with Joshua because I guarantee you thought, well, there's no way I can screw this up.
No, 11-1 odds. He said something like about, yeah, something along those lines, like he wasn't going to lose. Like,
and then there we go. Drake does it every time, and he's going to do it with the Warriors, too.
There's this guy, John Daly, on Instagram that did a thing about Drake where they superimposed words on what he was like. They turned the sound down and they were talking like Drake. And it's great because he's just like, I like basketball. he's like, basketball's great. Do you know I'm friends with all these guys? I like basketball. Drake is such a nerd. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
For the latest podcasts, for the latest sports news, and for Toucher and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Toucher and Rich are back on TV.
I really didn't know that.
Twitch.tv. Follow the Sports Hub. Watch and react with 98.5 The Sports Hub.
.5 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Raphael, go ahead.
Hello, good morning there, guys. Good morning. Anthony Joshua is a bum. He is a blighty, blighty bum.
All right.
Is this a character? Or...
No.
I couldn't tell.
Maybe he's a British guy that was a little upset.
Well, okay.
That one of his countrymen has said no way.
You know what this week is, don't you? It's where everyone goes over to a certain guy who likes to wear a little robe and head on down and distribute rings, Mr. RKK's house, and it's ring ceremony day.
Oh, yeah. Welcome in, champs. Welcome to my lair.
It's where he shows up and doles out the rings. What's up? And throws a little gala for all of his buddies. RKK rolling in style, feeling good about how things have gone down in Florida.
I got Sha-na-na here. And let's just put it this way, it wasn't cheap.
Mm-hmm. Had to pay extra for Bowser.
But Bowser, he'll flex.
But I was thinking about this weekend. So let's say you're Rob Gronkowski, and you truly want to retire, and you're done. How sick are you of everybody asking you if you're coming back? Because he's Hasn't he pretty much done everything that you can possibly do to tell people he's not coming back?
Yeah, he's not coming back.
Okay, but everyone seems to be asking that because there's all these rumors about him doing it. So here is Rob Gronkowski. He was doing that thing he does every year, which the kids buzz off for cancer.
Yeah, they tell the kids to buzz off my property.
But that's what
Casey likes to keep his golden dragons dry.
So here is Rob Gronkowski once again being asked whether he's going to come back.
Whatever I say, it doesn't matter.
Patrick, how old are you?
You'll always be crazy out there. But,
how long have you been growing out your hair?
You can put them in the rest.
2 years.
How much money did you raise? I just did. I'm feeling good. Good place. And it's great to be back.
Yeah, he's saying you can put it to rest. Yes, I'm done. I'm feeling good. I'm in a good place. I'm not coming back. Put it to rest.
Hey, he's not playing football anymore. It's not going to happen.
I mean, it sure as hell shouldn't. I mean, from everything you read about the back surgeries, if you're a fan of Rob Gronkowski, the human being, you don't want him to come back.
I don't know many Patriots fans that want him to come back, quite frankly. I haven't really heard that.
When he first retired, a lot of people did. But now more information's come out about just how awful it was during last season. Burt Breer had that story about all the different surgeries that he had and what he had to go through. And now I think it's people have stopped calling for it as much, but still, I mean, there's a contingent of people who want to see him return at the end of the season because they think he's going to be fine if he just sits out for the majority of a regular season games. And that's just not the case. Yeah. He's got stuff that he's going to have for the rest of his life. And if he gets hit one or two times more the wrong way, I mean, it's crippling. So let the guy live. He's enjoying life while he can. Stop bugging him about whether he's coming back.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like he's not going to be feeling this, you know, throughout his life.
He's
the damage is done.
He's now efficient at everything he can do to tell you to shut up and stop asking him. I mean, right there, you can see he's like, oh, boy, here we go again. He goes, I'm going to put this to rest. No, I'm not coming back.
And by the way, like if a player was to come back with like 4 weeks left in the season, it's not like you show up on that Sunday and put on your helmet and go out on the field.
No, you got to. It's a good 2 months of ramping up to it. But the other part of it is
and taking contact,
right? And the other part of it is as soon as Austin Seferian Jenkins catches like 2 touchdown passes in the first 3 weeks of the season, all of this stops.
I think he's going to be very good.
Well, no, I mean he is the candidate for the ultimately buy low get high. Off of a player.
Yeah, he's gonna.
I would say Jamie Collins is probably the leader in the clubhouse
by the
on
way,
that one.
We're just talking about the offense.
By the way, Seferian Jenkins isn't at OTAs. He is not participating in those.
Mandatory minicamp starts tomorrow.
So you would
think
that if you're Seferian Jenkins,
sure.
you would want to go to OTAs.
You saw about Odell Beckham, right? Odell Beckham showed up first day for of OTAs after they signed him. After Cleveland got him in a trade, he showed up for the first day of OTAs. He has not been seen since.
Well, Levian's not showing up either, right?
Oh, yeah. That's going to work out great.
By the way, I love how Manish Mehta, you're right, he probably got burned by his sources, and now he's just scorched earth about the Jets. Fred. Like, he's all in on hating the Jets. He might hate the Jets more than he likes trolling Patriots fans.
But a good year. What? Fred, just the mention of the Jets is just fantastic.
Yeah.
Look at you.
I'll tell you this, is that Manish Mehta is not a good look for him. Because, I mean, everyone knows why he's pissed.
Yeah.
He's pissed because he got screwed.
No, he's all in.
Hey,
he's all in, man.
Fury like a writer scorned by his sources.
He is really angry. Oh, man.
But it's going to be fun.
He still loves Sammy D.
When can we get him on again? I want to talk to him again.
I mean, he's pissed off because of that. All right, Bob Beard is going to join us. No commercials here, just that.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.